Get on my elevator, baby, we're going up. Give me that now and later.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We told you about the key players on the Titans defense. Let's get into that Titans offense. Right now, the number two rushing attack in the NFL, led by DeMarco Murray, who has 461 yards, 5 yards a carry, 3 touchdowns on the season. The Titans on the year averaging 149 yards rushing per game. The Browns down to 124.8. down 25 yards a game after rushing for just 27 against the New England Patriots. So let's look at this offensive team for the Titans. We'll start up front. I think they have one of the best tackle combinations in the NFL. Taylor Lewan, the third-year starter, first-round pick in 2014, has played very, very well this season. And on the right side, Jack Conklin, the rookie out of Michigan State, the 8th overall pick, acquired in a trade with the Cleveland Browns,
yes,
has also been a very good player for them.
Yeah, and I think it's something that you look in regards to studying their tendencies and where they like to run the football. And I'm sure when you have two tackles like this, the same way that, you know, we run behind or with Joel Bitonio as a tendency with him pulling around, this kind of gives them a dual threat. And I think they found a place of normalcy for DeMarco Murray, because when was he most efficient? And it was running behind a very, very good offensive line with the Dallas Cowboys. And now he finds himself back behind another high-quality line. And when you as a defense start to study an offense to pick up some types of tendencies, you're always heavy one way or another.
Right.
And I thought for me, and I think in some cases it has to be that way for a defensive coordinator, you're not necessarily your nightmare, but the one thing that you hate seeing is that 50-50 number, whereas they run the ball 50% of the time to the right and they run it 50% of the time to the left, and then you have to dive into certain types of formations and downs and distances, and is the tight end to Taylor Lewan or is the Taylor set to Jack Conklin, and what do they do when he's there, and do they do it out of two back, do they do it out of one back, and I'm sure that Mike Mularkey and his staff studies that to keep these teams guessing on where the football is going to hit. And I think even furthermore, you know, DeMarco Murray is the guy. They've kind of got, it's not quite thunder and lightning because DeMarco Murray is such a great runner and he's not really an undersized guy, but Derrick Henry's 6'3", 240 pounds. So the second DeMarco Murray starts softening you up and maybe getting to the edge and cutting things back, you bring in a guy like Derrick Henry, who as a rookie is just bringing the thunder, you know, and getting 4 or 5 yards and running through arm tackles. Kind of the same way that Isaiah Crowell's running, except he can't go 85 yards and really break one, but it's that thunder and lightning aspect. And I think it's the same way that Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson took the pressure off of Cody Kessler against the Dolphins and against Washington with her success on the ground. This offense doesn't have to rely on Marcus Mariota like they did last year to throw them and make plays with his legs as he's just learning and growing as a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. And you talk about those running backs. Murray on the season already 461 yards. Henry 151 on 30 carries, so he's averaging about 5 yards a pop as well. By the way, when I looked them up, Taylor Lewan, the number one overall rated tackle at Pro Football Focus this season. Conklin, number 10. For those wondering, our Joe Thomas checks in at number 6 overall, and I'm sure people wonder where Aston Pastor is. He currently ranks 65th in the NFL at the tackle position. So these are two of the best. They lost their right guard, Chance Warmack. He is out with finger surgery. Their starting guards, Josh Klein, who entered the starting lineup after Warmack was placed on IR from Kent State, as a matter of fact. They also have Quentin Spain, who joined the Titans as a rookie free agent at West Virginia last year, final 6 games, 2015 at left guard. And then Ben Jones is the center, who was playing very well, one of the higher graded centers around the league as well. So that's their offensive line, stronger on the edge than they are up the middle. And the Browns are going to have to try to use Stephen Paya, Danny Shelton to get that interior pressure on Klein and Jones and Spain, although Spain having a very good game and is considered to be one of the better run blockers at left guard. So again, it's Lewan, Spain, Jones, Klein, and Jack Conklin. Their tight end is Delanie Walker, leads the team with 225 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. Last year was a Pro Bowler, led all NFL tight ends in receptions with 94, had 1,088 yards as well, which are single-season records in both categories for Tennessee tight ends. This is the guy that I worry about. The Browns, as we've said many times, the most catches, the most yards, the most touchdowns, the most fantasy points, for those wondering, to the tight end position this year. In the last two games alone, Reed's gone over 70 with 2 scores. Bennett's been right around 70 with 3 scores, and Gronk's gone over 100 yards. That's just 2 games.
I know, and I think the challenge is going to be for the Cleveland Browns, even knowing that we already struggle with tight ends. Every other team's going to know that as well, and I think what happens is, and what they're going to do with Delanie Walker, knowing that they really don't have playmakers outside to rely on, they're going to move Delanie Walker all over the place to get the tell in regards to what we're playing around Delanie Walker. And if that makes sense, they're going to line him outside and they're going to motion him in. If somebody continues to follow him in, they know we're in some version of man. Is it two man? Is it man under too deep? Is it man free with a single high safety? Is it going to be some type of zero? And maybe we're bringing some type of blitz off the edge or up the middle, as we know Ray Horton likes to do. Is he going to, flexed out, not attached to the line, but maybe 2 yards off and cracking in on a backer? And you pull very athletic tackles and Jack Coughlin, Taylor on, get them out on the support, and you get DeMarco Murray stretching the football to the edge. So they're going to do everything that they can to stress what we do defensively.
Absolutely, and Delanie Walker, a great run blocker as well. For the Browns, I think the key to this game is going to be to get this team in third and longs, because if you let them, you got to get them, as you like to say, get them off schedule.
Yeah.
If they run effectively on first and second down, have third manageable, they can run for it. The play pass comes into play. Third and long, where you keep Mariota in the pocket, is your best bet.
Right, and I talked about it early in the first segment when we were going to talk about this matchups. It's Terrell Pryor, Jason McCourty. It's us on Delanie Walker, and then you look to Joe Hayden and Jamar Taylor and our safeties, Derek Kindred, and their ability to cover their playmakers outside and really make those plays and force Marcus Mariota to beat you with his arm.
And try to beat you with his wide receivers. They got Rishard Matthews on the season, just 212 yards and 1 touchdown, signed from Miami. On the other side, Tajay Sharp, fifth-round pick out of Massachusetts. He's got 18 catches for 189 yards. So right now, this is not a team with a lot of weapons out wide. Kendall Wright's there. He just has 3 catches for 23 yards. Harry Douglas, remember the veteran, 4 for 41 yards, a veteran. And then there's Andre Johnson, 9 catches, 85 yards on the year. But in the red zone, he's been effective already.
And he just had a touchdown this past week, correct?
2 touchdowns on the season, yes.
And to be very honest, talking to Frank Wycheck, having played against Andre Johnson, both at Ohio State when he was at the U, and then, of course, in the National Football League on a few occasions, and then playing with Delanie Walker, Andre Johnson is a monster compared to Delanie Walker. Andre Johnson's
a big dude.
6'4 and a half, 235, 240 pounds, rocked up, and like he said, a Hall of Famer who's not quite playing at that same level, which is why he's bounced around the last couple seasons. And Delanie Walker's, 6'4, 6'2, 235, 240 pounds, but it's the tenacity with which he plays with, and we talked about that yesterday.
Absolutely. And so for the key is going to be stopping this team. They also have a great fullback, and that's not something you talk about a lot, but Jalston Fowler, fourth-round pick, played all 16 games last year out of Alabama. He has been a very effective lead blocker on this team for these guys as they run the football. And, you've got to come out and find a way to slow down DeMarco Murray. He's in a great rhythm right now. 330 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns the last 3 games. It's going to be key for the Browns to try to slow him down. Will they be able to do that? I don't know. Derrick Henry, again, he's got 34 carries, 151 yards, I was told, 4.4 yards per carry, not 5. He's close to that. He's got 3 catches. Mo Pedman is more of a threat than Derrick Henry. Okay, Derrick Henry is just not getting the volume, and he's a guy who's a volume runner, a punisher, and he can come in the second half, and quite frankly, with the way DeMarco Murray's playing, they don't need to get him as involved. But Derrick Henry on the season, first of all, we know what he did at Alabama. He is a big guy. But this is somebody who, to me, when you see him get the ball, and the last few weeks he's been better than ever. Last week, 7 carries for 54 yards. That's 7.7 a pop. In the 3 games when it's seen at least 7 carries, he has totaled in those games 26 carries. He has rushed for 146 yards on 26 carries. That is over 5 yards a carry. His numbers are skewed at the beginning of the year, 5 carries, 3 yards in the first game. Since then, he has averaged over 5 yards a carry and been very effective.
That's really just the learning curve for a running back, because I think, you know, the detriment of Isaiah Crowell first through his first 2 years was, A, some of it was his vision, some of it was his footwork, and then as you and I, you know, continue to get frustrated with how top-heavy he would run, that when there was a hole, it was like, you know, a kid in a candy store. He wanted to hit that hole so fast that he became, you know, almost fall over, and he couldn't keep his feet. And I think in Derrick Henry's case, he's learning the NFL game. His vision has gotten better. Being able to see yourself on film missing a hole is a great learning experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's gotten early on. And since he's able to increase what he sees and the volume has gone up, he's getting the football more, and he has to. That's his role for this football team right now. And it may not be, he might not be the guy for maybe 2 or 3 more years if DeMarco Murray is still playing at such a high level, but he's going to be the change of pace guy that comes in, maybe in short yardage, comes in to spell DeMarco Murray, and you can count on him. He doesn't give up the football, and he gets you, and he doesn't take negative runs and put you in second and 11 when you get him the ball on first down. He doesn't. It's always going to be second and 7, second and 6, second and 5. Those winnable on schedule downs for a young quarterback like Marcus Mariota, who you get and you get a little tricky as an offense coordinator. As much as I love me some defense, it's like, I know what works against defense, having been a defender my whole career. So it's like, I enjoy getting into offense. Man, second and 4, it's like, what toys can I bring out on second and 4?
You're on alert for everything.
I'm going to take my shots. You know, the reverse, the wildcat, all that stuff that we've practiced all week is really when you want to dig in if the game dictates you to do so.
By the way, Marcus Mariota, for that Kessler comparison this year, 60% completions, 6.5 yards per attempt, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Kessler, 67, 6.5, 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So, and that's a guy that's considered to be, again, a bona fide franchise quarterback. I think he's had his struggles, but he is the main man there. You got to keep him in the pocket. He's one of those guys you want to keep him in the pocket and not let him run. He's dangerous on the run, and he has struggled this year under pressure. You've got to get pressure on him. That's where his quarterback rating is low, and that's what they need to do. Get to him. It looks like interior pressure is going to be the best bet for the Browns. Once again, Shelton, Pyatt, Cooper up the middle.
Something maybe either now or after the break. How many red zone opportunities have you had with Cody Kessler, and what's his efficiency in the red zone? That's the one thing that I think, you know, and obviously you can talk about the Patriots game, throwing that touchdown to Andrew Hawkins inside the red zone. But that's what really matters to me. When you dive into some of these quarterback stats, it's great. And I think league-wide, you can throw the football up and down the field. But I think what makes quarterbacks great, maybe even not only just Cody Kessler, but league-wide efficiency down in the red zone, I think that is what sets quarterbacks apart for winning football games. And I think for you to really be elite, because there's a lot of guys who are very elite, you know, from 30 to 30, and then they kind of like, they coil up and aren't the same quarterback when they're inside the 30 and it comes to go score some points.
Cody Kessler in the red zone, 4 of 7 for 29 yards and 2 touchdowns on the season. This is what I like the best about Kessler. When he's been leading, when games are close or tied is when he has been at his best. When trailing close, 20 of 31 for 206 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. When tied, 10 of 17 for 78 yards. And when leading close, when he's had the lead, 7 of 9 for 80 yards on the season for Cody Kessler. So he has done a good job in the red zone, and that is something that stood out. 2 trips to the red zone, 2 touchdowns, the pass to Pryor, the pass, obviously, this past week to Andrew Hawkins. All right, when we come back, 216-578-0850, we'll take your phone calls as well as we dove in here on the Tennessee Titans. But again, the key for this one to me is get them off schedule, make Mariota throw the football down the field, because that is where he struggles. You want another amazing Cody Kessler stat?
What is it?
On 3rd or 4th and 7+, 12 of 14 for 114 yards, 8.1 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown.
Wow.
3rd or 4th and 7 or more, that's where he's been at his best. As for Mariota, as I said, you want to get him under pressure, and I know people are saying, well, why are you saying that? What exactly are the numbers? Well, here, let me give you the exact numbers here on Marcus Mariota for his season as a passer, because it's very stark what you need to do to disrupt him as a quarterback. He's a guy that, you know, was used to an Oregon not seeing a whole lot of passing under pressure, et cetera. He had those quick read options, the run pack, the package plays. Here's Mariota on the year. With no pressure, he's completing 65% of his passes. He's averaging for 800 yards, 6.5 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns. When not blitzed, 67% completion, 7.3 per attempt, 4 touchdowns on the season, quarterback rating of 88. When he is blitzed, bring the house, 46.8% completions, 4.7 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. You've got to bring the house against him. I expect Ray Horton to dial up a lot of blitzes. And one of the reasons is those receivers on that team cannot win on the outside, often one-on-one. Rishard Matthews, Andre Johnson, too slow at this point in his career. Tajay Sharp, they're not winning one-on-one. That's why you can blitz this team. And that's what the Browns should do early and often. The numbers certainly bear that out. All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Dog Pound, don't forget tonight at 7 o'clock on News Channel 5, the Hugh Jackson Show. I talk with Coach Jackson. We go to the All-22 film breakdown. Cody Kessler's touchdown pass to Andrew Hawkins. Preview the Tennessee Titans. Get the latest on the quarterback situation. Also, Matt Wilhelm with Connor Hamlet on the play breakdown of his touchdown. And Dustin Fox sits down with defensive captain DeMario Davis. Also at 7 tonight, if you're in the Berea area, you want to come out and hang out with us, the Hugh Jackson Radio Show on remote at Teams right here, right by the facility in Middleburg Heights, Teams Bar. So come out and see us there. The cool thing is Christian Kirksey will be on site tonight, and all kinds of drink specials, good times out there. So come and see us that's tonight at 7, or you can watch the game, obviously, as well. So or watch the Hugh Jackson Show on News Channel 5 at 7. You got lots of ways to get in touch with the head coach of your Cleveland Browns. All right, let's speaking of the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. He spoke with the media today, and here is his press conference.
My left tackle's fine. He's good. Yeah, he stretched and made sure he felt better and feel good and getting stuff ready to go. But didn't practice, if that's what you're asking. No, he did not.
You know, it's significant he hasn't missed a down. I mean,
and he won't
expect him to play Sunday?
He won't. He won't miss a down. No question in my mind about that.
Clear picture of who's going to start a quarterback?
Cody practiced full, looked good. I think he's ready to go. I don't know that. But I know Cody's ready to play.
Do you think he'll have any limitations or restrictions, or did you see that he looked?
I think he's fine.
Think you'll have McCown available as a number two?
I don't know that yet.
And if not, would Hogan be number two?
A combination of, you know, whatever we need to do. If he's not.
I mean, he was in some pain Sunday.
Right, no, he was. No, again, credit to him, our doctors, you know, our trainers, rather. I think they've done a good job getting him back out there and going. I mean, as you know, he hasn't missed a day of practice, so that's good. It's a good thing.
As the weeks have gone by, what have you seen Cody do better each week?
I just think he's getting better. He's understanding our system, how to play within our system, where to deliver the ball to. I think he's started to play in a rhythm, you know, that runs our offense, in a rhythm that works for him. And, again, that's what we have to do is whoever's playing quarterback, make sure we get them in rhythm where they can play and function and play good. So he's done a good job, obviously, but still so early in the season, got a long way to go.
Pretty good starts, and then he got to play first quarter against the Patriots, but he responded to a Tom Brady touchdown, and then the injury happened. So, is this a good thing? Is this an encouraging thing for him to get to go back out there and try to kind of pick up on that where he left off?
Oh yeah, no, I think so. I mean, I think that's what he wants to do. That's what we want to do on offense is go back to that that drive we had before he got hurt and play in that kind of rhythm and that fashion. So, yeah, that's the goal.
Many other people really in the league kind of saw in Cody what you did see in him. And has he kind of been living up to the expectations that you had? This is what you kind of thought you were going to get.
I think he's doing, you know, again, I think it's still early, but I think he's doing some good things, and he's getting better. And I think, obviously, the more these young guys play, the better it'll get, but he's done some things well, but he's got to continue to grow.
Do you clear up any of the offensive line at all? Do you know?
As far as?
Interior, who's at center and guard?
Oh, yeah, no, Cam's ready to go. Cam's there, and obviously Greco and Alvin Bailey and, you know, Cooper. You know, again, we'll know more by the end of the week, but I feel good about the guys who are going to walk out there first. I do feel good about the starting line.
You and Greco back to right guard?
Yes, I have.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you about RG3 getting reevaluated last week. I think you said he was due for it. Do you have any more clarity on when he might come back?
No, sir. There's nothing new at this point.
Stands out about it?
Number 99, number 96, 98, they're good. You know, 91, they're good players. You know, they're really good players, play hard. And I think Casey's playing as good as anybody in the league right now. He is. He's a dominant football player. And Arapo is proven, guy has 6 sacks. So that tells you they know how to get to the quarterback.
Marcus Mariota on film, what are his strengths, weaknesses?
Good young quarterback, you know, that's evolving each and every week. He can throw, make all the throws. You know, he's very talented with his legs. I think he's finding his rhythm and playing. You know, they got good runners that he can turn and hand it to and a good offensive line. So, I just, you know, he's playing good. Just don't want him to play good this Sunday. That's all.
Return game so far this season. What do you need to see a little bit more from?
Yeah, I would like to make more plays. You know, like to have the ball come back at the opponent a little bit more. You know, a little further, run for a touchdown, all those good things. But no, I mean, I think Coach Tabor's done a good job. You know, he's been mixing and matching the whole year. You know, we don't have a lot of the core guys that are right there, but he's done a admirable job of getting these guys every week up to speed, and I think inserting Duke back there surely has helped a little bit, add some excitement to that team.
Good.
When you Ray Horton left Tennessee to come to work for you, was anybody else considered out? Or remember reporting on anyone else?
Anybody considered for me?
Yeah.
Oh, there was a ton of people. Yeah. Again, you know, Ray has been in this division, and I've competed against Ray when I was at another team and within this division a couple of times. And I know playing against his defense has been tough. You know, they've always got up to their quarterback and covered well and did some good things. So there's no question Ray's the right guy for this job and for this opportunity. We just got to continue to get better. I thought you said one.
Yeah, but this is still the same subject. His familiarity with LeBeau, do you need that, or you've competed against LeBeau?
Absolutely. Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, Dick LeBeau is one of the best coordinators in this league, you know. But we face good coordinators every week, you know. There's a whole bunch of them in this league, and that's what they do. But, no, Dick LeBeau is as good as there is, and he's got those guys playing well. And we got a big challenge again this weekend.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson there. And obviously this one's personal for Ray Horton as well, the defense
Absolutely.
Coordinator going back to Tennessee for the Cleveland Browns. Cody Kessler sounds good to go, saying that he threw today. The discomfort is still there, but he's being able to make every throw he wants to with the velocity. He will start. The line is going to be now left to right. Joe Thomas, Alvin Bailey, Cam Irving returning at center, John Greco at right guard, and Austin Pastore at right tackle.
Yeah, and I would imagine if you leave a football game with any injury, if it's an ankle sprain, a hamstring, I'll say barring cramps, you're gonna feel that throughout the week. You know, there's times where you know, I would, you know, at this point in time in the NFL, you didn't have to wear pads in your pants. So it would be like when you put on your pants, it's just pants, no leg pads, no knee pads, no thigh pads. And man, you take a helmet or you kind of get leg whipped in your thigh and you get one of those deep contusions in your thigh. You feel that each and every week. So, and I think that's what Cody Kessler is dealing with. There's an uncomfortable nature from, you know, it's like a bruise. Whenever, and I still do this, I do it to my son, and he doesn't like it so much. But if you were to have a bruise on your shoulder, I'm always going to walk up to you, and I'm just going to go, and I'm going to put my thumb right in your bruise and go,
thanks.
How's that feel?
Feels good.
You know, and you're just going to go, ow! You know, it hurts. That's
great.
That's where we're at in the process. But the great thing about it is there's a high school football game that I have to go coach at tomorrow night. Cody Kessler gets, 72 more hours to recover, if not more, to recover. And every single day, every breath's going to get easier. Every throw's going to feel a little bit better. And the cool thing about it is he's got a great staff, a training staff and a strength and conditioning staff that's going to work with him to have him as prepped and ready to go as possible come Sunday.
Indeed, and this team is going to need to bring it because this is a good Tennessee Titans defense, as we alluded to in hour number one. Jarrell Casey playing at a high level, Arakpo playing at a high level. They've got linebackers that can cover and can tackle. They've got safeties who are hard-hitting, and they've got a corner in Jason McCourty who can cover. The Browns are going to have to exploit Parrish Cox this week. Just like last week, they were able to get away from Malcolm Butler, and that's where Hawk got his touchdown. They're going to have to do the same this week, going away from Jason McCourty if they do try to put him on Terrell Pryor or double him with Jason McCourty and a safety, Johnson, who came over from Arizona this offseason. All right, when we come back, we'll get into the mailbag. We've got fantasy football start sit. Also, the last opportunity for you to call the show here on this Thursday, 216-578-0850, and we'll also give you our take on tonight's game, San Diego Superchargers.
Them unis are going to be fresh.
And the Denver Broncos.
That's the one thing I'm looking forward to tonight. Well, a few things. I'm looking forward to seeing Joey Bosa in uniform for the Chargers, especially after, 28 snaps, 2 sacks, 4 hurries, 5 tackles, 2 for a loss. Very impressive start to his season. But those uniforms tonight, those color rush unis for the Chargers are going to be dope.
And if you were a player, if you were playing for the Chargers, do you get to keep those? Do you get to keep those? Or
yes.
Would you have to purchase them? Like, how does that work?
It depends. Everything's changed. If you do, I mean, you're talking $200. That's, that's two dimes to someone making a couple hundred grand.
Yeah.
So it's worth it because it's one of those once in a career opportunities to have that uniform. And I think if you really wanted to, I'm sure you could go out and have the equipment manager order some additional. But I actually hit up my guy Bob Wick. He's the equivalent to the Brad Melland of the San Diego Chargers, and I've got an autographed Joey Bosa jersey coming my way.
Oh, nice.
It's gonna make my wall in my basement.
Nice.
Yes.
Are you going for a color rush one? Which one did you go for?
I think just the navy.
Just the navy?
Yes.
Very nice. All right, we'll be back. Final thoughts wrapping it up. Fantasy questions, get them in right now. Use the hashtag AskTFC at Nathan Zgura at Browns_Daily. We'll get to those right in the last segment.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Wrapping it up again. Don't forget the Hugh Jackson Radio Show at Teams here in Middleburg Heights. We'll be there tonight from 7 to 8 and probably beyond watching some of the Thursday night football game between the Chargers and the Broncos. Also on TV, it is the Hugh Jackson Show, News Channel 5, myself, Matt Wilhelm, Dustin Fox, and the head coach of Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. You'll be with Connor Hamlett talking about his touchdown, and Dustin interviews DeMario Davis.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, and I think this is as we lead into our FanDuel Fantasy Minute. Who do you like in tonight's football game? Because I think there's so many people deliberate about these issues, throughout Saturday and even tinker Sunday morning to get ready for Sunday football. But there are points on the board tonight because I think you got the Denver defense that needs to bounce back, which is going to limit what Phillip Rivers and that offense is going to do. But yet Phillip Rivers, regardless of who they've played, has put up pretty good fantasy points all year, as well as Melvin Gordon on the ground.
He has, and in this game, these Thursday night games are just not good. They typically are less.
I think it's going to be a blowout.
They are not high scoring. And you think Denver's going to blow out the Chargers?
Yeah, and when I mean blowout, I mean by a double-digit win. Could be 20-10. But yeah,
I don't expect it to be as high scoring as people might think tonight. And I do think that the Denver Broncos get the best of this game as well. I would agree with you there. Let's bring in our producer, Matt Fontana, for a little hashtag AskTFC fantasy football questions. And this, of course, is brought to you by FanDuel. Get FanDuel, have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich at FanDuel. By the way, whoever is listening right now and thinks that they are a fantasy football expert, I challenge you to go to my contest, FanDuel.com/Zagura, my name. You can enter. It's only $5 to enter. Top prize is $100 guaranteed. There's money for the top like 25 or 30 finishers.
How many people are, what's the limit?
110 people in the contest each week. I came in seventh last week. I've been in the money 4 out of the 5 weeks.
Nice.
So bring it. Let's go. FanDuel.com/Zagura. Sign up now. Be sports rich at FanDuel. Fontana.
Gentlemen, we start. This one's from Rob. He wants to know, what should I do about Jordan Reed, recently diagnosed with a concussion? Who should I pick up on the waivers?
He is in the concussion protocol. That has just officially been announced literally a couple minutes ago, so very timely there. If guys that you could pick up on your waiver wire, if somebody dropped Julius Thomas while he was out injured, I think he is worth a look this week. Dennis Pitta against the Giants team that has been very generous to tight ends as well. Those would be the two guys that I would look to target early there. Jesse James also, the tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers going against the Miami Dolphins.
Bob in Millersburg does not have a list for you, but he has a question. T. West versus the Giants or Cameron Artis Payne versus New Orleans?
Jonathan Stewart is back, so we're going to go with Terrence West, the former Cleveland Brown who rushed for over 100 yards last week.
So it's from Joe. Pryor or Macklin? Doesn't say if it's a PPR league or not. He has one other question, too, as well.
It doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, you're going with Jeremy Macklin. The Oakland Raiders corners have struggled all year long. Jeremy Macklin, I think, is one of the better starts this week. Top 20 guy for you. I'm starting him over Terrell Pryor.
And then he also has Tyrod Taylor or Derek Carr.
You don't sit Derek Carr. He's red hot right now. The Chiefs not generating the kind of pressure they usually do. In fact, they have the lowest pass rush percentage of any team in the NFL right now. That gives Carr time. And Carr's going against Kansas City team with Michael Crabtree. He's got, of course, Amari Cooper playing well, Seth Roberts, Clive Walford. Too many weapons. Carr's been too good, too consistent. I think you stick with him over Tyrod Taylor.
Standard league question from Jim. Chris Hogan or Michael Crabtree?
Bill Crabtree, as the kid likes to call him. The guy scores every single week.
This one's from Tim. This is a PPR question for a flex spot. Mohamed Sanu, Sterling Shepard, or Rashad Jennings?
Rashad Jennings is going to be back. If it wasn't PPR, I would go with him. I do believe, however, you're going to want to go with Sterling Shepard. Struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks, but I think you can throw the football on this Baltimore defense, so I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard there. Now, if they say that Rashad Jennings is back and going to take his full workload, go with the running back, those safe touches.
Again, you can use that hashtag AskTFC on Twitter. This one's from James the Ringer. Half-point PPR, Will Fuller. I guess he needs one. Will Fuller, Randall Cobb, Jordan Matthews, or Sterling Shepard. He said he's already starting Amari Cooper.
I'm going to stick with Randall Cobb. He practiced. They say he practiced fully today. He's good to go, so I'll stick with Randall Cobb. Will Fuller would be the next guy up for me.
Again, use that hashtag AskTFC. Flex for Glenn here, PPR League. Kristen Michael. Terrell, well, did you see that one?
Michael's starting running back for the Seattle Seahawks.
There it is. This is a flex question. This one's coming from Don. PPR League, Cole Beasley, Jamison Crowder, or Tavon Austin?
I like Tavon Austin. I like the kind of utilization he's been getting lately. Last week would have been very good in a PPR league to get 7 or 8 catches, so I'm going to stick with Tavon Austin.
Again, on Twitter, this one is from Eric. PPR league, Hearns versus Chicago, Meredith versus Jacksonville, or Tajay Sharp versus the Browns?
Not Tajay Sharp, even though receivers have done well against the Browns. That's such a crapshoot. I think that Meredith was one, and the first one was Allen Hearns. Chicago's susceptible to the deep ball. I think Allen Robinson, Allen Hearns coming off the bye. I think both those guys have good games. I'm going to go with Allen Hearns.
This question is from Tim on Twitter. Again, use that hashtag AskTFC. Is Russell Wilson a must start?
Absolutely this week. Yep, 100%.
Even with the ankle?
I know a lot of people who think he is the number one quarterback this week. He's coming off of his bye week. He's ready to go. I think Russell Wilson is one of the top plays this week. Has a good matchup with Atlanta. You can certainly throw the ball on that Atlanta Falcons team. So I like Russell Wilson a lot.
Now, I've got one for you, Nathan. Yep. And this is my team.
Ooh, I like
it. Okay, I've got Eli Manning home against the Baltimore Ravens. I've got Dak Prescott at Green Bay, or Tyrod Taylor home against the San Francisco 49ers. I know Dak's probably out at Green Bay. Tough place to play.
It is, so I'd go Tyrod Taylor. Hope he runs for some yards for you against the 49ers.
I mean, he threw for about 150 last week, but still had threw for two touchdowns.
And he runs for about 50 yards.
Right, yep. And Eli's been, he's got five touchdowns through five football games.
He's just struggling.
He is struggling. That offense is bad. It's not even fun to watch.
No, he just doesn't look right.
Right.
I would, if you can, though, the guys like, I think that, you know, Derek Carr is a great play. Is this one where you can switch guys out, or is this your, team?
My team. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. No, I think you're good there. All right, folks, that will do it for us today. Tomorrow, hopefully the kid will be here. We will pick the games. We will have the absolute latest on this Titans team for you. We'll get inside the numbers a little bit. We will have Hugh Jackson, maybe Ray Horton. I'd like to hear from Ray Horton this week.
I want to actually speak to the kid about his Vegas trip.
Yeah, we'll talk to the kid. We'll get a breakdown of what happened in Vegas for the parts that don't stay in Vegas. We'll find that out and much
more. Quick question here from Munch Bishop. He says, who does he start, the Buffalo defense or the Denver defense?
Buffalo. I think that's the start
Buffalo
of the week.
Buffalo versus the Niners.
I love the Denver D on a Thursday night game, and if he says, look, that's my stud, I don't want to sit them, no problem with that. But if he's awarded points for yards, definitely the Buffalo defense. All right, that'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Matt Fontana, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850, WKNR Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.